Well, it's been a busy time of the year, holidays, family and friends, travel, illness, whatever the case may be. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to see those that have been on the road back. We know that there are others who are unable to be here, and again, we ask you to continue your prayers for them. It's a time of year where we have a range of emotions that are basically 180 degrees apart. A lot of fun, a lot of celebration, a lot of joy in the hearts of many, and sadness in the hearts of others who have lost loved ones and are addressing the fact that good times are met with absence. And we recognize that, and we pray that all of us will be able to manage those emotions and put them into perspective in terms of the Lord's will in our lives. Last week we talked about ending a year. And this week and next week we'll be talking about the new year that's upon us. Some of you may have experienced this like I have. I almost am in awe and in wonder that this is the year 2020. I can remember science fiction movies, old black and white movies talking about 2020. And why they picked that number, I suppose, vision or whatever the case may be. But here we are. It's a reality. Life is a lot like that. As youngsters, we dream. We think of ourselves in situations that we doubt will ever happen. And the next thing you know, years later, which seems only like a moment, there we are, good or bad. So this morning we want to, again, give solid advice about the new year of 2020. By the way, my wife has become quite a fan of detail. Not that she never was, but especially when it comes to things on the internet. And she shared with me a detail the other day that sort of floored me. And I'm still trying to figure out how it can be used against us effectively, but I'm paying attention. She said this, I read, Joe, when you write checks now for the year of 20, don't just put 1-5-20, put 1-5-2020. And I said, why in the world does that make a difference? I don't know, but that's what I read. Maybe they could cancel your check somehow or whatever. I don't know how they can use it against us. Don't care to know. But guess what? Every check I've written, except for one, the very first one, have said 2020. I'm going to follow her suggestion. Wise woman that she is. And I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. There are some things I ignore, but that one I'm paying attention to. Okay? See, I even admitted it, darn. Point number one, facing the new year in light of Ephesians 5. In the new year, we need to be careful. Thanks to Jake for reading the scripture and sharing a prayer, actually two today. Let me reread verses 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be careful in living. Be careful in the way we live. Be careful. Be wise. Be careful with your time. After all, it's God's time. Don't contribute to evil. Be wise. Seek the Lord's will in all things, every day and in every way. Steve Rowe's catalog of self-induced injuries reads like something out of the Spanish Inquisition handbook. Fractured skull, torn rotator cuff, shattered fingers, broken wrists, fractured elbows, torn muscles, sulfuric acid burns, self-stabbings, multiple broken noses, and last but not least, a ruptured tendon in his ankle. Here's what Steve said. I didn't trip on anything. By the way, he's a 46-year-old patent attorney from Madison, Wisconsin. I didn't trip on anything. I was just walking down the hall in a hurry, and I went around a corner, and suddenly it felt like somebody hit me in the ankle with a baseball bat. Maybe you've had similar experiences. Hurry, worry, multitasking, stress. You might call them the four horsemen of the accident prone. Stress is a huge factor when it comes to accidents. In fact, a few years ago, a study was done by the University of Minnesota, and it linked stress to the increase in post-911 fatalities, traffic fatalities in particular. Now think about that. Stress and injury. Stress and accidents. A direct correlation. Do we have too much stress? Probably so. We are all vulnerable when it comes to accidents. But obviously, among us, some are more prone to accidents than others. I suggest to you again, hurry, worry, multitasking, stress will lead to accidents and more. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Again, that's the physical world. In the spiritual world, if not properly focused, we will suffer for it in this life on this earth. Most of the time, we are far too worldly and materially focused in our lives, even as Christians. We need to be honest with ourselves and with each other. Most of us are not as spiritually minded 24/7 as we should be, myself included. We are far more earthly and worldly minded. Listen to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It tells us what we should be focusing on. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now in that passage it says you died. It's talking about the old self. And we put on that new self through Christ, through baptism into Him, the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But as we've said many times over, the Holy Spirit will not force us to do good. We must submit. Too earthly minded. We live in a highly technological world. There are those out there that promote the idea that we will soon have perfected virtually everything. Hogwash. Why would I say that? Let's take the automobile industry. Over the last 10 years, let's say, how many recalls do you recall? Every other week, it seems like. Toyota, several years ago, brake pedals, gas pedals not working properly, getting stuck. Millions of cars recalled. The largest automaker in the world can't get it right. And that includes all the others. Ford, General Motors, you name it. Recall. Maybe we need to look at recall in regard to our lives. It's clear that we don't function properly quite often. Sometimes we even get out of hand and do crazy things. No matter how good we are, sometimes we're going to mess up. We need to be more careful and use our time more wisely for God. Someone said the following. On my way to deliver a computer to a customer, I saw a handwritten sign at the entrance of an alley. It said, "Blocked. Do not pass. Difficult to turn back." Well, I continued anyway. Isn't that typical? Only to discover that the alley indeed was blocked by a fallen tree. As predicted, it took a while to turn my truck around and go back out. And when I finally got back to the entrance after way too much time wasted, I noticed a second sign. It read, "I told you so." Isn't that the way our lives go? Our parents tell us when we're young, this is what you need to do, this is what you think about. "Oh, Mom, Dad, I'll figure it out." And down the way, you may not see the sign, but you hear it in their voices, "I told you so." And then later, here's what gets to most of us here. Later, in spite of everything we ever said ugly, we start to behave like our parents. That's a shocker. God has told us so many times in life, but it seems we don't listen very well at all. True or not, true for some anyway, He's told us and told us, and still we do it our way. The definition of insanity, doing the same things the same way, expecting different results. Think about it spiritually. God's Word tells us repeatedly how to handle life, and we continue to make our own decisions in spite of the wisdom of God. Sounds a little bit like a touch of insanity, doesn't it? We do it over and over and over again. And then we make a New Year's resolution. I won't do that anymore. And before January's out, I'm doing that. Isn't that interesting? Be careful the way you live. Use your time for the Lord. Seek the Lord in life. Serve the Lord no matter what you do otherwise. Point number two, the new year. Be thoughtful. Verse 18 of our passage. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be thoughtful of others. That's always good advice. We don't often take it. But here we are thoughtful of God's Spirit who lives within us. God's Spirit. From an unknown source comes an article titled, "How to Be Miserable." I want you to listen to this one. It says, "Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors you've shown them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others." You remember what that list is about? How to be miserable. Be self-centered, absorbed in me, mine, and I will in fact become miserable. Have you ever been guilty of that? At times, we all are. We like to be appreciated for the good things that we do, of course. But we can also get caught up in ourselves. We have to be careful. We can become too self-focused and forget about others and forget about Christ and the Spirit. When Roy De La Monte was chaplain of Payne College in Georgia, he preached the shortest sermon in the college history. However, he had a rather long topic. His topic was, "What does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what's in religion for me?" The complete content of his sermon was in one word, nothing. Let me say that again. The topic, "What does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what's in religion for me?" The sermon, nothing. One word. He was asked, "How long did you spend preparing that lesson?" He said, 20 years. You get the point? Many people are only interested in what they can get, not what they owe the Lord, what He's done for them, and what they can do for others through Him. I'm reminded of several key scriptures I want to read quickly with you. You may not have time to follow, so listen carefully. These will help us to guide our thinking as we look at the new year. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do," you know the rest, "do it all for the glory of God." Galatians 5:13. "You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Notice the alternative to self, serving others. Galatians 6:2. "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We always ask, "Christ, what do you want me to do?" Bear each other's burdens. Galatians 6:9 through 10. "Let us not become weary in doing good." Oh, really? "For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those that belong to the family of believers." Matthew 22:36-40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Two commandments that are the greatest. Love God first and foremost with all that we have. And secondly, love our fellow human beings. If we do that, we won't go wrong. We'll make some mistakes, but we won't go in the wrong direction. Verse 18 from our passage, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Rather than being self-centered, drunk on wine, doing what I want to do, only what I want to do, when I want to do it, be Spirit-centered. Think more about Him than we do about ourselves. Be more spiritually minded rather than worldly or fleshly minded. If we'll set our minds on Scripture, prayer, praising, and serving, we'll have a far better new year. And our last point, number 3. In this new year, let's be thankful. We've heard it expressed already in prayer. Let's take it further than that. Verse 19 through 20. "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Be thankful. Live a grateful life. That'll keep you on the straight and narrow. People who are not aware of their blessings are not thankful. Instead, they're always looking for more. The old song, "Count your many blessings." The reality is, if we look at it, no matter what our situation is, we cannot count all the blessings God has given us. Nearly 70% questioned in an Associated Press poll some years ago said the following: people are ruder than they were 20 to 30 years ago. Peggy Newfield, founder and president of Personal Best, said the generation that came of age in the times of changing 1960s and 70s are now parents who don't stress the importance of manners, such as opening a door for a female. A whopping 93% in this AP poll faulted parents for failing to teach their children well. In the time of Dr. Spock, years gone by now, young parents were told something completely different than Scripture. And thus we have, in many cases, a generation of people who do not understand boundaries, who do not understand serving others, being less self-focused. Are you rude? Am I? I certainly hope not. Are we quick to be polite in our actions and in our speech? Or maybe like myself, sometimes I find that I forget to say thank you when I should have. And I regret it. And I want to make it up. But the reality is we must think ahead. It must become a way of life where we don't even have to think. A 5-year-old once said grace at the family table. It was at night at dinner. And here's his prayer: Dear God, thank you for these pancakes. When he concluded the prayer, his parents asked him why he thanked God for pancakes when they were having chicken. He had a simple answer as he smiled. He said, I thought I'd see if he was paying attention tonight. We laugh at that, the innocence of children checking things out. I truly believe that God pays attention, and I know you do. Our problem is we forget that. In the rush of everyday life, as we think of all these things that are important to me, we fail to recall God is with us 24/7. The Spirit is within us. The Father and the Son know every move, every thought. And interestingly enough, God is not condemning us every time we do something wrong. He's hurting for us. He wants us to do better. He wants us to be the people that we claim to be. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's who God is. Dr. Dale Robbins writes the following: I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything. It doesn't make situations better. It amplifies frustration. It spreads discontent and discord. And complaining can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc within our lives. Complaining will make us miserable. Think about that. Psalm 77, verse 3, the latter part. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Philippians 2:13. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe. Folks, do we live in a crooked and depraved generation? We say it every day. We listen to it every day, and we believe it every day. If that's true, and it is, are we shining like stars in the universe? A positive, thankful person is a great witness in this dark world. We only shine when we're thankful. Our light shines for the Lord when we're thankful, when we live it, and when we express it. A positive, thankful person is a great witness. Growing up, I would hear adults from time to time say, "Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord." And I'd think, what kind of fanatics are these people? Older in life now, I would rather hear those expressions every day, all the time, rather than a group of complainers. How about you? When you complain, when I complain, the people around us are affected negatively. Not only do we become miserable, but they do too, being around us. So why would they want to? It's the reverse of being a positive witness. What would a complainer have to convince someone else of what Christ has done for them? Think about it. Complaining is human nature. And God says we're to rise above that through Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 as we close. Give thanks in all circumstances. Here's Paul again. Boy, he blows me away. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We say, God, what is your will for my life? To give thanks. To whom? To Him. When? In all circumstances. That's 24/7. How can we be thankful to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because He gave His only begotten Son, who died on a cross willingly, so that innocence could be sacrificed and guilty could be redeemed. I stand guilty. Do you? I've been redeemed. Have you? Someone said, last year when I called my parents to wish them a happy new year, my dad answered the phone. I said, well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution? He said, to make your mother as happy as I can all year. And he was proud to say that. And I smiled. And then Mom got on the phone. And I said, hey, Mom, what's your New Year's resolution? She said, to see that your dad keeps his resolution. New Year is a pretty cool time. No pun intended. It's a good time to look forward to the unknown. It's a good time to put the past behind us, good and bad. It's a time that we can say once again, Lord, I've got a clean slate. Help me fill it with positives. Help me fill it with service to you and others. Help me be a positive, good witness for you in these coming days. And where I failed in the past, Lord, I know you've forgiven me. I know you've washed that away through the blood of Christ. Help me not to look backward, but to look forward. It's a good time of the year. God certainly would like to see us keep His resolutions. He knows that's the way that we can be blessed. Walking with the Lord, doing things His way, is a way to be blessed. So in this new year, let's be careful, let's be thoughtful, and let's be thankful. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, please come while we stand and sing.